Anticipating Your Next Move by Fleur de Lisée in Tuesday's Gone. Read by Argentum Lupin. Becky is pretty sure her laundry bag weighs as much as she does, but at this point she's wearing her last pair of holy underwear, and she absolutely has to haul it all downstairs and start her laundry. "Bag of holding," she mutters to herself, thumping the bag down the steps. She hates the basement. It's dark. And creepy. And contrary to her own imagination, she is not equipped with a sword. Her inking pens might be mightier than a sword in some cases, but not that good for defense in creepy basements. Another machine is running through a final spin when she gets to the laundry room, but no one is around, so she starts her laundry running and turns around in circles a few times. There's the usual stacks of weeks and months-old magazines, and a shelf of trashy paperbacks. Not that Becky has a problem with trashy paperbacks. She loves that shit, but she's not in the mood. On one end of the folding table, there's a chessboard set up, waiting for someone to start playing. She pokes a knight. A voice asks from behind her, "Do you play, or do you just move the pieces around and pretend you're in the middle of a Dungeons and Dragons campaign?" Becky laughs. "I don't see why it can't be both," she says. She almost swallows her tongue when she turns around and sees the woman talking to her. "And how did you know I play D&D? The woman smiles at her, and Becky forgets to breathe. "You were muttering about swords. It was a hunch." "I could be a crazy serial killer," Becky points out. "You're tiny. I could take you. Hi, I'm Lindsay." "I'm Becky. So are you new to the building? I don't remember seeing you around before." "Not new," Lindsay says as she starts unloading her wet clothes from the washer and putting them in the dryer. "I've lived here about a year, but my band has been on tour for a lot of that." "Oh, wow, what do you play?" "I love music. Metal, mostly. Old shit. I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot." "Jeez, Lindsay's hot." Lindsay just grins. "Bass. I think our Wikipedia page calls us industrial punk." "That's way cooler than my Wikipedia page," Becky says. "I'm just an artist and a writer, not even a cartoonist, which is closer to the truth." "Comics? That's way cool. I went to Pratt," Lindsay tells her. "SVA," Becky grins. "You shouldn't have been on tour for so long. This building is full of boring people." "Tell me about them," Lindsay says, sitting in one of the chairs by the chess set. Becky sits opposite her. "So my neighbor is like Wall Street Junior. All he can talk about is finally moving to Manhattan and shit. Like, dude, I'm glad you have goals, but they are the most boring goals in the world." "Bet he's quiet," Lindsay says. "Yeah, 'cause he's never there. There are a couple of seriously old people, too. Actually, they're pretty cool. Deaf, anyway, which comes in handy when I need to listen to Norwegian metal at 1 a.m. to stay awake." Lindsay laughs. "What is it about Scandinavian metal that's so fucking great?" "The darkness of their souls matches the darkness of their winters," Becky says. She almost manages a straight face. Lindsay snorts. "It's disgustingly fucking cute." She describes a couple of the people she's met, and they both tell a couple of art school horror stories. Becky hasn't even gotten into her weirder studio mates yet when Lindsay asks slyly, "Any more weird neighbors? What about that girl who walks around muttering about swords?" In her defense, she's drawing a lot of swords lately, and that's all she sees when she closes her eyes. "That and beards," Becky says, and nudges a pawn forward. "Also, the basement is creepy, and I was wishing I had actual skill with one." "Don't worry, I'll protect you," Lindsay says, countering with a black pawn. "Especially from that brunette with pigtails on 4. Anyone who keeps hours that fucked up must be a weirdo." "Awesome, I feel safer already," Becky says, and moves her knight out. "So, I didn't actually catch which band you're in." "Mindless Self-Indulgence," Lindsay says. "Good name." Lindsay smiles. "Yeah, it's pretty great. The touring is what kills my sleep schedule. I try to get into something resembling a normal human sleep pattern when we have a break, but it always backfires." "I just work better at night," Becky says. "Between that and fighting with constant deadlines, I have a pretty wacky schedule myself." Her laundry stops, and she makes her chest move and gets up to transfer the load. "Or I could cut back on the coffee, she muses, but then the darkness of my soul would match the darkness of my metal. You like your coffee black, just like your metal? Lindsay asks with a cheeky grin. Totally, Becky says. Actually, a friend gave me a mug that says that. It's from a band, I think?
It is,
Lindsay says. I should probably listen to them if they have a song like that, Becky says.
Lindsay smiles wider. You really should.
Oh God, that's your band, isn't it? Becky wants to hide in the dryer with her wet clothes.
I think I'm just going to let you figure that out, Lindsay says, and moves another piece.
Becky sighs dramatically and comes back to sit down. I always like new music, so it won't really be a hardship.
Industrial punk, you said?
Depends on what kind of a mood you catch Jimmy in, she explains, sounding fond.
Boyfriend? Becky asks.
She's already embarrassed herself. Might as well.
Lindsay bursts out laughing.
Hell no, I'd kill him! Lead singer. Also, he's married. And I'm not... well...
let's just go with hell no.
Becky laughs. So no mixing work and pleasure, then?
At least not when it comes to my bandmates,
Lindsay replies, and moves her knight and takes one of Becky's pawns.
Shit, Becky says. Should have seen that coming. I'm rusty.
I haven't played regularly since art school. I think we can safely assume you're going to pull similar shit on me, Lindsay replies.
Yeah, that's my evil plan.
They play for a while longer, talking idly, and Becky is in the middle of plotting out her next couple of moves when Lindsay's dryer buzzes.
Guess that's me, Lindsay says, crossing to the dryer to dump her dry clothes back in her laundry basket.
Sure, leave right when I have check within 3 moves, Becky teases.
Lindsay pouts.
Sorry, I have practice tonight. We should play chess again sometime.
Acceptable, Becky says solemnly.
Hey, it was nice to meet you.
You too,
Lindsay replies with a big, gorgeous smile. Glad to know there's at least one cool person in this building. And then she's out the door, her laundry basket against her hip.
Jesus fucking Christ, she's hot, Becky thinks.
This kind of thing never happens to Becky. She stares at the washing machine for a while, but she can feel the huge smile on her face. Lindsay is fucking cold. To be fair, it's December in Brooklyn. Some cold is to be expected. But it's a good 10 degrees lower than average, and their last tour date was in Los Angeles. She's not used to this shit. She has a bag of stuff from the bodega on the corner over one arm, so she reaches into her bag with the other and feels for her keys and... nothing.
Shit, shit, shit,
Lindsay mutters, digging hopefully into all the corners of her bag. Now, of course, she has a crystal-clear mental image of exactly where her keys were, sitting on her kitchen counter. This is not good. She waits hopefully for a few minutes to see if anyone comes out the front door, shifting from foot to foot. No dice. Then she narrows her eyes at the directory on the call box. Becky. Tiny, pretty, ginger Becky, who likes metal and chess and, most importantly at the moment, works from home and stays up late. There's nobody with a B first initial, but there is an R. Clunan, and that's probably her best bet, since Becky is usually a nickname for Rebecca. She pushes the button and waits.
Yeah?
Becky's voice echoes in the small alcove over the front steps. Hi, it's Lindsay, from, Chess and Laundry. I kind of locked myself out.
Dude, it's like Hoth out there. Let me buzz you in. No, wait, come upstairs. I'll give you some coffee. I just made a fresh pot.
The door buzzes before Lindsay can answer, so she knocks the slush off her boots and trudges upstairs to 3B.
Hi, Becky says, opening the door before Lindsay even knocks. Am I being bossy?
You have coffee, I'll let it slide. But seriously, I can just go wait by my door if you're busy.
That would suck, no way! It's coffee o'clock anyway, come in.
It's always coffee o'clock in my book, Lindsay says, and Becky grins.
A woman after my own heart.
Becky leads her through her slightly cluttered, art-covered living room to the kitchen, pours her a mug, and hands it to her.
I have sugar and creamer here somewhere if you want it.
Black is fine.
Oh, hey, I listened to that song, Becky says, and, like, a bunch of others. You guys are great.
Thanks, Lindsay says. Hold that thought.
She fishes her phone out of her pocket and calls the super, telling him as an afterthought that she's waiting in apartment 3B. He says, maybe half an hour? She tells Becky after she hangs up. That means anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, Becky says with a sympathetic smile. Come sit down if you want.
Nope.
You are going to show me some artwork. She grins hopefully at Becky. She's been trying not to outright stare at the walls and general other surfaces of the apartment since she walked in.
Sure,
Becky says. She's vibrating, though. Like she can't wait to talk about all this stuff. Fuck, Lindsay likes her. Becky leads her across the living room to a framed painting.
Okay, this isn't my art or anything, but my friend Gabrielle did the line work and his brother Fabio painted it. It's probably my favorite thing ever. They're both comic artists and they live in fucking Brazil, which is unfair on multiple levels.
Gorgeous, Lindsay says, studying the painting. They always work together?
Not always. They're just so good at blending their styles together. Here, I've got a book here that I worked on with them.
She hands Lindsay a small volume from a shelf. Picsou, she reads, and starts flipping through the pages. I'll be honest, superhero comics have never really been my thing. I mean, the art is always gorgeous, but I have a hard time getting into the stories. This looks like it's more my style.
I've done a little bit of everything, Becky says, leaning against the bookshelf and sipping her coffee.
I mean, whatever pays the bills, you know. I've been lucky that I've had steady work with a lot of great people. Sometimes things don't work out, and it's a bummer, but then I get to do stuff like this.
She pulls two more books off the shelf. These are my first two minis. They're self-published, and I wrote and drew them, so basically they're like little inky children.
Oh, wow, just the covers are incredible, Lindsay says.
Becky beams.
Thanks, I'm really proud of them. I wanted to use all the best materials, best paper, inks, everything. Whenever I get a box from the printer, I open it up and just sniff. That's probably weird.
That is not weird, Lindsay says. In my spare time, she laughs, like she's had much of that lately. I like to do paper sculpture. There's nothing like it.
Oh God, I love that! I don't have the patience for it, but it's so fucking cool, Becky says.
I like the challenge of forcing myself to be patient, if that makes sense, Lindsay says and opens Wolves.
She grins and looks back up at Becky.
Beards and swords.
I told you,
Becky shoots back.
It's, a theme. Sort of a lot.
She points at the bookcase behind her, and Lindsay steps closer to scan the titles. Medieval history, arms and armor, and D&D manuals go side by side with manga and a dozen other things. There's a really gorgeous glass dragon figurine right behind Becky's head.
Lindsay grins at her, and Becky continues, "The next mini doesn't have any beards, though. Total departure for me. I figure I should stretch my wings a bit."
And then giggles at herself. It's fucking cute.
Okay, so that's the mini tour? Lindsay asks.
Please tell me the pun was on purpose, although if it was, I might propose.
Becky replies.
Yes, that was the mini tour, except for the stuff I'm working on right now.
She waggles inky fingers at Lindsay. Over here.
She leads Lindsay over to her drafting table.
Right now I'm working on pencils for a cover I'm doing for DC, and I've been inking my new mini. I had to take a break because it was all starting to blend in my head, and I was starting to hate it.
Crazy talk, that's beautiful.
Lindsay pulls the sheet a little closer to look at the details.
I am officially amazed. Love your style, lady.
Becky fiddles with her hoodie strings and smiles.
Jesus, she's cute.
Lindsay wants to...
Well, she should probably just cut that thought off at the pass.
She leaves on tour again in a month. Best to not get super into this girl and then leave again.
That way lies heartbreak. She knows from experience.
So you do pencils and ink, and then it goes off to someone else for coloring, right?
Yes. I like to pencil and ink by hand, even though a lot of my friends have started using tablets. So I make scans after my pages are done and send them off for colors.
Colorists? She says in a confidential tone, leaning a little closer,
are wizards.
Lindsay is fucking doomed.
Seriously, people don't realize how important they are. A colorist can make passable pencils look great, and vice versa, but mostly it's the former. Don't know what I'd do without my colorists. I've been trying to improve my own coloring skills, but it's fucking hard, Becky explains earnestly.
I'm so glad I got locked out. This is...
You're awesome.
Becky gets pink-cheeked and grins. I'm glad, too. I mean, it sucks that you were locked out, but it's always good to share a cup of coffee with someone to break up the day. Or night, Lindsay says with a glance at the windows. Then she checks her phone. The super is setting a new record, she adds, wrinkling her nose. Although I'm the idiot who locked myself out, so... More coffee? Becky says, lifting Lindsay's cup out of her hand. And something really terrible from my DVR? Yes? Yes, Lindsay replies. Thanks. She finally takes her jacket off and puts it on top of her bag of groceries by the door. She's glad there's nothing super perishable in her bag. So what level of terrible are we talking? Reality TV terrible or, like, sci-fi terrible?
Hush your mouth! Sci-fi is quality programming!
Becky sits down on her couch and props her feet up on the coffee table. Becky ends up putting on a truly terrible horror movie, and they have fun laughing about it and having a pretty interesting conversation about the role of women in modern horror at the same time. The super finally calls Lindsay 2 hours after she called him. In his defense, he apologizes profusely, so Lindsay lets it slide. This time. She says goodnight to Becky and takes herself and her poor neglected bag of groceries upstairs to her own apartment, tossing her keys pointedly into her bag as soon as the super lets her inside. She realizes a minute later that she's still standing in the kitchen, staring at nothing with an epically stupid smile on her face. God, she likes this girl. Maybe Lindsay will invite Becky to her New Year's Eve party and to play chess again. Lindsay even saw a board on one of Becky's shelves. Maybe next time. A couple days after Becky's impromptu hangout with Lindsay, she shuffles into her living room in the morning to see something on the rug by her door. She shuffles closer. It's a Polaroid of a chessboard with a note scrawled in Sharpie. Next time? Becky grins at the Polaroid and takes it over to tack it above her drafting table with a pushpin. Definitely next time, she thinks. The problem with that is that she ends up staring at it, analyzing Lindsay's handwriting, and trying to figure out what her apartment is like from the hints of photo background. She frowns and makes herself draw 3 mermaids in a row for being excessively moony, wondering idly if fish scales are better or worse than beards. Then she fishes out her own Polaroid camera from the depths of a closet and takes a picture of her board. Yes, her message says with her cell number below. Call or text any time. She climbs up to the 4th floor and slips it under Lindsay's door. Becky goes and refills her coffee mug and then goes back to her desk, opening up her laptop and clicking on her Skype chat.
Cameron, she types, flirting via Polaroid, cute and quirky or a sign of incurable hipsterdom, asking for a friend.
Lol, lol,
he replies.
Both, I'd say.
Well, I suppose it could be worse, she says. My friend could be only incurably hipstery, and then everything would be awful.
Did she call yet?
He sends back a minute later.
No, sigh. But she keeps crazier hours than me, so maybe she's just not awake yet. Also, maybe I should give her more than 20 minutes,
she adds.
Lol, 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 lol,
Cameron writes back. Okay, maybe she deserves that. She forces herself to start drawing again, and she gets lost in it until she jumps when her phone starts ringing. The number isn't registering on the caller ID, so she answers. Hello?
Hey, Becky, it's Lindsay.
Oh, hey, what's up? Well, that was quick. Becky starts grinning.
Me, finally, and I got your note. Well, obviously. So it's not chess or anything riveting like that, but before I forget, I'm having a New Year's Eve party type deal for some of my friends, and I was hoping maybe you could come up too?
Becky grins. I'd love to. Should I bring anything? Wine? Beer? Appetizers?
If you wanted to bring a bottle of wine, that'd be awesome. I've got the food covered. I fucking love cooking, but I never get to on tour. It's gonna be awesome.
Cool. So what time?
Anytime after 8. Or, you know, before, since you have that harrowing journey up the stairs.
It's just the basement that requires arms and armor, Becky says seriously, and Lindsay laughs. See you soon. Becky hangs up and writes, WINE! On a post-it note. About a half hour later, her chat dings again.
What did you send a Polaroid of?
Cameron's message says.
A chessboard,
she types back. This time his lols take up 3 lines. She fucking hates him.
Be glad you're in Berlin.
I want to meet this one,
he types back.
I just met her myself,
Becky says, and she knows she's blushing, even though Cameron can't fucking see her.
But since she's in a band, she could get to Berlin sooner than I might be able to.
Well, you're pretty smitten already, so...
Cameron says.
Shut up,
Becky replies.
I'm drawing now.
She's totally not drawing. She's thinking about long legs and red lipstick. A little while later, her computer pings again.
So, what's her name?
He asks.
And what band is she in, anyway?
Lindsay Bellotto. Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Half a minute later, Cameron says,
Just Google image searched her. Holy shit!
Fuck off, you have a girlfriend!
I'm an artist, I appreciate things artistically,
he replies, then adds a minute later,
Mandy says she'd hit that too.
Becky can't help but laugh. She loves Mandy.
Fuck off,
she repeats.
We'll see what happens.
The truth is, she doesn't want to get her hopes up. Because she is an utter sucker, she opens up Google Images about 30 seconds later. Just to see. It turns out her neighbor isn't just in a band, she's a fucking rock star, who is completely, utterly gorgeous. Which Becky knew, but it's different in the pictures of her on stage. And holy shit, is she bendy. Drool bib, she writes under wine on her post-it, chuckling at herself. Then she goes back to drawing.
You may be right about the basement,
says her phone the next morning. The text came in at 2 a.m.
Nearly had a heart attack just now. Turns out it was a stray cat. You fed it, didn't you?
Becky writes back, not expecting a reply.
I totally did. It was so pathetic. I just couldn't leave it.
Becky grins at her phone.
Well, now you have a feline best friend.
Becky picks up her phone that night after she finishes washing dishes.
Red or white?
She types.
Whatever you like best,
comes Lindsay's reply.
Dinner would probably be better with red, but I imagine we'll want wine outside of dinner. Looking forward to seeing you,
Lindsay texts a minute or two later. Becky takes a deep breath.
Me too,
she replies, and makes a mental note to go get a nice bottle of wine the next day. She creates a reminder on her phone, just to make doubly certain. Finally, it's Saturday, and Becky has wine and a relatively cute outfit. Well, it's cute. She knows it. She called her sister and described it to make sure. She goes upstairs and knocks. The person who answers the door is a big, tall dude with a big voice.
I'm Steve,
he says and shakes her hand. Becky, she replies.
Oh, I know. Come on, you have to meet Jimmy before she realizes you're here,
Steve says and pulls her across the room. Becky wishes she had a chance to stop and look around, but she supposes that can come later. Steve leads her to a skinny guy wearing a hideously awesome Christmas sweater.
Yo, Jimmy, look what I have,
Steve says.
Small, red hair, not my wife, you must be Becky, Jimmy says with a sharp grin.
I must be? Becky asks. What if I want to be someone else?
Ooh, you're good, which just proves you are Becky, Jimmy replies.
Does my reputation precede me?
Indeed it does, Jimmy says.
He opens his mouth to say something else, but a woman Becky can only conclude as his wife by her hair and shorter stature sneaks under his arm.
Don't be an asshole, she says.
Hi, I'm Chantal. Hi, nice to meet you. Kitchen? I have wine.
Ooh, you're my new favorite. You might want a glass of that if you're going to talk to Jimmy and Steve for long. Come with me to the kitchen.
Chantal hooks her hand in Becky's elbow. Lindsay is in the kitchen, pulling a pan from the oven.
Look who I brought!
She sings songs. Lindsay looks over her shoulder and beams.
I had to rescue her from my husband and Steve.
You earned your dinner, then, Lindsay says. Becky must look nervous or something, because Lindsay laughs and puts the pan down and wraps an arm around her waist. Hi.
Hi,
Becky replies.
I have wine.
You do, Lindsay says. Let me,
I'll take it,
Chantal says with a smile. Open it and pour this girl a glass, Lindsay says and squeezes Becky before pulling away and stirring something on top of the stove. I'm so glad you came, Lindsay says warmly.
Kitty is on her way, and then the whole band will be here. Let me finish this up, and I'll introduce you to some other people, too. Shanty, wine?
On it,
Chantal says, passing glasses around. Becky takes a sip. It's nice to have one of her hands occupied. She tries not to fidget with the other too much. Chantal leans back against the counter.
Lindsay is a fucking amazing cook. Like, full-out gourmet levels of awesome. If she gets tired of the band thing and the art thing, she could totally be a chef,
Chantal says. Too stressful. I'll keep cooking for my friends.
Sometimes she gets a bug up her ass and cooks for us on the tour bus,
says a woman in the doorway of the kitchen.
I think she's insane, but I don't question it.
No, you just make fun of me when I end up bruising myself on all the fucking cabinets. And then eat my food. Lindsay hugs her. Hey, Kitty.
Hey, sweets, Kitty replies and hugs back. This your neighbor friend?
Yep, Lindsay replies. Kitty, this is Becky. Becky, Kitty, our superhero drummer.
Awesome, hi,
Becky smiles. So you guys just hang out even when you're not stuck on a bus together, huh? Well, we took a long break a while back, but now it's the holidays. For better or worse, they're part of my family, Lindsay says with a smile.
Steve leans into the kitchen and adds, I'm the ex-con brother-in-law, and Jimmy's the creepy uncle.
Lindsay laughs. As long as you know it. Becky, she says softly, let me get all this food out on the table, and then I want to introduce you to everyone else, too. Becky and Chantal help move the food to the table, which suddenly expands out into the living room with the addition of a couple of card tables. There's a whirlwind of introductions after that, and Becky can hardly keep everyone straight. She's really happy to end up next to Lindsay, though. She's pretty sure her face is permanently red from Lindsay talking her up to everyone. Luckily, there is wine. Of course, being tipsy leads to a new set of problems when Lindsay keeps ending up in her personal space. Becky's instincts all tell her to take advantage of the closeness, to lean in and steal kisses. But her wine glass hasn't been empty since Chantal filled it the first time, and that's definitely not because she hasn't been drinking it. She decides that ignoring those instincts is the best plan. The conversation is usually enough to distract her after a minute anyway, and she definitely ends up in at least a 20-minute conversation about krautrock with Kitty's husband over dessert. Lindsay periodically leans over her shoulder to add comments and then staying there, which feels like a pretty clear signal to Becky.
You're going to have to roll me back down the stairs,
she turns and murmurs to Lindsay in a momentary lull.
I haven't eaten that much in years.
Lindsay just beams. It was good. I was worried about the sauce.
It was amazing,
Becky replies. Other people nearby chime in to agree, each one more ridiculously exaggerated, and Lindsay buries her face in Becky's shoulder and laughs. Becky pets her hair soothingly.
My friends are assholes, Lindsay mutters. I'm pretty sure they are assholing out of love, and possibly also revenge for the indigestion they are sure to experience from overeating.
I'm not their mother, Lindsay sighs. Becky laughs.
I think you love it, though.
She pokes Lindsay in the side until she squirms. Fine, fine, yes. Have more wine. Or coffee. Should I make coffee?
I'll do it, Chantal says, waggling her eyebrows at them and standing up. You just relax.
Becky thinks Lindsay blushes then, but that could totally be the wine. Or a trick of the light. Then she smells the coffee brewing, and Lindsay chuckles.
Your face is the definition of conflicted.
I haven't had this much to drink in a while, and it's nice, but coffee.
Coffee always. I don't think you'll have a problem falling asleep, Lindsay says.
No, probably not. One cup of coffee can't possibly counteract all this alcohol.
You can always have more.
You are a bad influence, Becky teases.
You said it was nice. I want you to enjoy yourself.
She smiles, and Becky might be kinda sorta staring. Chantal brings the coffee, and that's a momentary distraction for everyone, but she still can't keep her eyes off Lindsay for long. Becky is pretty sure she hasn't had this much fun with so many people since Comic-Con. Lindsay gets drafted to go find them games to play, and Becky talks to Steve for a while. Steve is genuinely hilarious and fun.
She came to audition for us, and she breathed fire. We had to hire her.
Obviously, Becky agrees. Good choice.
So, I heard somebody say you go back on tour soon?
Yeah, after the holidays. Doing the North America circuit again, Steve says.
So, what's worse, touring in the dead of winter or at the height of summer?
Depends on what you want to deal with the bus smelling like.
He laughs. Becky laughs, too.
Both have their own appeal. I like fall tours best, though, Chantal says. Not too hot, not too cold, pretty trees.
Are you a musician, too? Oh, man, I feel so out of the loop. Chantal replies,
I am, but I go out with James and the rest of them sometimes, too.
Awesome, Becky says. Wow, so are you a solo act, or do you have a band, or what?
Solo now. I met these assholes when I was in a band called Morningwood.
Becky giggles.
I know, right? It was great, but solo is fun, too.
I like watching your solo act, Jimmy says, coming over with Lindsay and draping himself over Chantal.
She rolls her eyes, but turns to him and starts whispering. Lindsay squeezes herself between Steve and Becky on the couch. She puts a stack of games on the coffee table and sits back.
Okay, I had to crawl into the deep recesses of my closet for those, so we definitely have to play something.
Jimmy snorts.
Bet that's the first time you've been in the closet for a while.
Closets and I don't get along very well, Lindsay shoots back. They're dark and dusty, and I'm much happier out of them.
Becky is a smart woman. She can tell when conversations are happening for her benefit. She leans a little harder into Lindsay's side and says,
Never think we don't appreciate your efforts. How about apples to apples?
And she has good taste in games, Chantal says. There's no better way to get the true measure of a group of people than playing apples to apples with them, Becky says solemnly.
You're gonna run screaming then, Lindsay says, but she leans back against Becky.
Lindsay lets Chantal set up the game in favor of staying where she is. Becky can't say she minds. When the cards are all dealt, things get serious, though. These people are clearly competitive. They play for at least an hour, stopping several times for drink refills. Becky is pretty sure she can legitimately be considered as snuggling Lindsay after a while. Lindsay turns the TV on half an hour to midnight and gets out champagne. Becky suddenly remembers that New Year's Eve involves kissing, and Lindsay hasn't been far from her side since she got here. Becky, it bears repeating, is a smart woman. Suddenly her hopes are way, way up. They all have champagne and are watching Ryan fucking Seacrest be terrible.
I miss Dick Clark, Jimmy says.
I'll drink to that, Becky replies, and they all take a sip of champagne.
I miss good music, someone adds.
But props to anyone who goes out and plays in the cold like that, Lindsay says.
True that, Kitty says. Fucking brutal.
And then it's a minute to midnight, and Becky's heart starts thumping faster in her chest. An arm slides around her waist.
Just so you know,
Lindsay whispers in her ear as the countdown starts.
Figured it out,
Becky whispers back. She feels Lindsay's lips curl up into a smile against her ear. Becky leans back against Lindsay, and they watch the ball slowly descend. A cheer goes up around the apartment, and hands on her hips turn her around.
Happy New Year, Lindsay says.
Happy New Year, Becky replies. Lindsay tugs her closer and leans in, and she gets a kiss. Soft and slow, and tasting of wine and lip gloss. It's still over too soon, and Becky takes a sip of her champagne to hide her flaming cheeks. Lindsay doesn't let go of her, though, keeps Becky's hand wrapped in hers. There's chatter about plans for the new year, and a few people talk about resolutions. When Becky finishes her champagne, she holds in a sigh.
I should go, she murmurs in a lull in the conversation. I need to drink some water and sleep off all the wine because I'm supposed to drive up to Connecticut tomorrow.
I went up for Christmas, Lindsay murmurs. Glad you could come tonight.
It was nice to meet your friends, Becky says, smiling around the room and getting a chorus of good nights.
Lindsay smiles and reaches out and wipes a smudge of lipstick off the corner of Becky's mouth with her thumb.
Now you can go. Sleep well. Drive safe.
Night, Becky says with an answering smile. She shuts Lindsay's door behind her and leans against it for a moment, smiling like crazy. She drags herself downstairs, forces water down her throat, and falls into bed. Suddenly, the new year is even more exciting than it had been. A couple of days after New Year's Eve,
Lindsay texts Becky.
Wanna hang out? Maybe play chess.
She gets back a sad face and...
Still in Connecticut. Soon, though. When is your tour start? Gotta fly out to L.A. in 3 days.
Lindsay replies. She really hopes Becky will be back by then.
Huh? That's when I get back!
Is Becky's response. Well, fuck, Lindsay thinks. That's not fair at all.
Fuck, I'm sorry about the shitty timing.
She texts back.
My fault, should have made plans sooner. How long is the tour? A month, then home again. You'll just have to text me, and call me, and we can just get together when you get back.
Becky responds. Fuck, Lindsay thinks. Jimmy is going to have a field day with this. Whatever. Jimmy is totally disgustingly in love with Chantal, and Lindsay knows how to make him pay.
New Year's Eve ended too soon,
she texts after a moment.
It really did. We'll just have to make up for it later,
Becky replies. Lindsay grins at her phone. She rolls over in bed and stares up at the ceiling. She should be packing, but instead she's thinking about curvy redheads. Not Chantal, either, although she loves her a lot. God, Becky is so damn... She's gorgeous and passionate about her work and so fucking talented, it's ridiculous. And geeky and enthusiastic and... Well, basically perfect. And Lindsay wants to get her hands on her. On her hair, her ass, her gorgeous breasts. Lindsay had spent a lot of New Year's Eve forcing herself to look at Becky's face, not her cleavage. Her face is gorgeous, too. Lindsay sighs and rolls over again. Fuck, she needs to get laid, and she's not going to be able to before she leaves. Not that it was guaranteed, but fuck. She slides her hand down and presses against her clit over her panties. Might as well. She can do this on the tour bus anytime, too, but at least here she can spread out a little. She shimmies out of her panties and pulls her tank top over her head. She lays back and lets her hands wander over her body, cup her tits, slide over her stomach. Lindsay plucks at her nipples first, kneading her breasts with her fingers, returning to her nipples and tugging a little harder, idly squeezing her thighs together and relaxing them a few times. She licks her lips and slowly moves one hand down her body. She shaved earlier, and everything is nice and smooth and slick already. She presses down over her clit again, slipping a finger between her lips and rubbing gentle circles. She lets a moan escape and keeps rubbing. Lindsay takes her other hand off her breast and reaches for the drawer in her nightstand. She grabs blindly, doesn't care which toy she gets, she just needs something inside her. It's her double-headed dildo, and fuck, that's what she really wants. This inside her, someone on top of her, cunt grinding down, and... Fuck, she groans as she slides it in, rubbing her clit with her other hand. She starts thrusting it fast and hard. She wishes she had a person to thrust against, had tits against her chest. She feels good, though. So good. She hums, pinching her clit and angling the cock, and Jesus H. Christ, there's the spot. Lindsay lets out a strangled moan and arches her back and holds it steady at that angle. Fuck yes! She speeds up her fingers on her clit, rubbing short circles around the hood until she clenches around the dildo, and pleasure starts radiating out from her cunt through her whole body. Her hips snap up one last time against her hand, against the dildo. Her eyes squeeze shut and she freezes, letting the orgasm fade into the kind of secondary shivers that make her want to squirm against the sheets. Shit. She breathes. Yeah, that was good. She lies there and pants for a minute. She leaves the dildo in and cups her breast, idly rubbing over her clit a couple of times, before finally getting up to wash the toy. She doesn't bother with the tank and panties. She has one more night to sleep naked before tour. Might as well take it. At least she'll sleep well now.